You're listening to the Hope Community Church Podcast. Our prayer for you is that as you listen, you'll be engaged, encouraged, and expectant for all that God wants to accomplish in your heart and in your life. If you enjoy this podcast, please share it with friends and family so that the gospel message may continue to go out to the ends of the earth. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, good morning. You can have a seat if you will. Thanks for being here. If you're a guest or you're new, I'm Jeff Eaton. I'm the pastor here at Hope Church, and welcome. We have a day of remembrance. We have a day of remembering the Lord's sacrifice, His work on the cross, what it did for us as we take the Lord's Supper and remember Him. We also have a day that this is a birthday of Hope Church. We started 28 years ago today in 1998. Yeah. Goodness. And we're going to be taking and capturing that just a little bit. I don't know whether to call it a birthday because, you know, the Holy Spirit does give birth to church, or to call it an anniversary because the church is His bride. So I don't know really which way to go with that, but the Lord has been very, very faithful to us, and we're going to remember not only His faithfulness to us, but just His faithfulness that He has for all of His people, and man, just a keeper of His promises. Joshua stated, the promises of God, they are true. So before we get into a time of remembrance, and we'll be serving you the elements, the bread, and then the drink here in a moment, I want you to look at 1 Samuel 7, verses 12 and 13 for just a moment. It said, afterwards, Samuel took a stone, and he set it upright between Mizpah and Shin, and he called it Ebenezer, explaining, the Lord has helped us to this point, or your version may say thus far. So the Philistines were subdued and did not invade Israel's territory again. The Lord's hand was against the Philistine all of Samuel's lives. And I included the second verse just so you would know they've been in a constant battle with the Philistines. The Ebenezer stone that he's talking about here, it can be a picture of a stone that maybe Samuel had placed, or it could just be an outcropping of a stone that just sticks out and is very noticeable. But either way, this stone is referred to as a marker of God's faithfulness. It's made famous by not only this act, but I grew up with a song. One of the lines in the song was a hymn, is now I raise my Ebenezer. And I remember as a little kid going, I'm thinking Scrooge. You know, I had no idea what they were talking about. I just thought that was a weird line, you know. Now I raise my Ebenezer. But didn't know the meaning. But the word Ebenezer is chosen because it's referred to as a stone of help. That this marker stone is a stone of help. It is a stone of victory. It is a sign, a physical sign that God is powerful and that God is reliable and that God is helpful and that God is faithful. I as a preacher, pastor, I just don't want you to be in a rhythm of church. I want you to know that God on a daily basis. He gives us abundant life and eternal life. I don't want to talk about it. I want to live it. That this God is available to all of us. Not just to historically study and go, wow, you know, but to experience this. That's why we do what we do. That's why we started Hope Church. We didn't just want to be another church that gives you information about history. We wanted to be a church that where you experience this living God yourself and teach you how to be able to live in the truth of His promises. But the saying that Samuel has here, that God has helped us this far or thus far, or He has helped us to this point, is really pointing to an exact point. It's a point where the Philistines retreated. It just became a marker spot. It's the first victory over the Philistines, who were a constant enemy. And to them, they're going, man, the Philistines have always done this to us. But this Ebenezer place, this is the stone of help. This is where the battle turned around. This is where things completely changed. The stone is perfectly placed between Mitzvah and Shin. And it's done that way because that's where the battle turned. It's where it turned. I don't know about you. I can say this about Julie and me, but we have markers in our life. Did we physically put a stone there? No. But there are markers in our life where we know the battles that we've had have turned. They have turned. And they have turned into the direction of God's promises. Some of them are literal places. But some of them are just seasons of our life where the battle has turned. Those places can be referred to as your places of Ebenezer, where the God of help, the stone of help, is put to remember who the God of help is. Even recently in our life, Julie and I have had a ton of decisions since May to make in our own personal lives. And even this summer, it became a place where the battle was turned, the promise was given, the direction was shown, and then you just learn to be able to follow that. So they placed the stone between Mitzvah and Shin because Mitzvah was a place of revival and spiritual renewal, showing that God works in the spiritual. But then it's placed in Shin, between Mitzvah and Shin, because Shin is a place where the physical battle changed and God showed himself to be faithful to them. And that Ebenezer rock is placed just right. It's the right help at the right time and at the right place. How many times have you said that in your life? I mean, there are times where you're looking and go, okay, I've got two decisions. And then the Lord's like, no, you really have more than that. There are some things that I have for you I haven't shown you yet. You're just seeing I have two. But there's three and four sitting right over here, you know? I know about them. You just don't know about them. And you trust me in that. And when it comes through, you and I stop and go, it's the right help at the right time and at the right place. And he just does that, doesn't he? Sometimes you use the phrase, we serve an on-time God. And the fact that he said that he helped us this far means that we still need help. And we still need him. And there are more battles to turn. And there's more on to this journey. So as we remember Jesus, his work on the cross, today, that is our primary focus. But again, happy birthday, Hope Church. It's been 28 years of incredible faithfulness to the Lord, his faithfulness to us. But I want to share this. I couldn't wait. I got up, I went to bed last night, and I thought, I can't wait to get to this part in my little sermon. I got up this morning. I go, I can't wait to get to this part of my little sermon. And I don't know, though, if I've ever had a little sermon. But to this portion, I couldn't wait to get here. We have our own version of this text. We have our own version of Ebenezer, but it's not a rock. It's not a rock. Kim, would you put that picture up, if you will, on the screen? It's a trailer. That's our Ebenezer right there. So I thought about pulling it out and, you know, having it, the sun set as its backdrop, and you know, and try to, you know, like I'm taking a senior picture or something, you know. And I thought, nah, I'm not going to do that, you know. So I just took that picture, and there's one more because that ramp door is important to us, and not everybody's going to get this, but I'm going to try to tell you the story. Our version of this text, and you can just leave that picture up there. Our version of this text is we ask the question, is God faithful? And then I respond to people, what time is it? what time is it? I remember at times when Tyra would sign and I would say that, and she'd point to her watch, to her audience, of what time is it? He's been faithful up to now. That's our version of thus far. So God, how you ask me how faithful is God, I'm going to look at you and go, what time is it? He's been faithful right up to now. He's been faithful thus far in our life. So this trailer is our Ebenezer. It's our rock. Some people have asked, do we want to sell it? I said, you can after I leave, but you can't before I leave. When we were mobile, many of you all remember this, and many of you don't even know it, but we were mobile for 9 years. And I rounded up, it's probably 8 3/4 of a year. And when I say we were mobile, you remember, those of you who can, we were everywhere. We were in the middle school. We were in the ballrooms of the Holiday Inn. We were at Farnham Dudgeon Civic Center, which is now torn down. We met, our vacation Bible schools were at Saffle Street when they were redoing their buildings, or they were at the park, the old park, the where the fair is located, where we have the county fair every summer. Just literally everywhere. And I remember when we rented the office buildings on Court Street, right across from the courthouse. We had the whole top floor. We had several little bitty old offices, but we did not have one piece of furniture. We did Comzo without any tables and chairs, even the teachers. A prerequisite to be a teacher was not did you know scripture, is could you sit on the floor? You know, we had a guide for you to teach. We had nothing. We had no chairs, no Susie. Our church administrator at the point had a typewriter. I can see Susie on her knees. No desk, no chair. When I say we had no desk, no chair, I meant we had nothing. We rented those top floors. We did Comzo, students, all kinds of things in those floors. Tried to have our offices and begin there. And so we used that as a gathering place because we stored our children's ministry stuff that we used at the middle school on Sunday mornings. We stored it in those extra offices that we had. So that area became like a hub. People would come down there with their trucks and we'd fill it all up. Sound equipment. We didn't have a trailer for sound. We put it in the beds of trucks. So we started in August of 98. And thank the Lord, it rained during the fall, but it never rained on a Sunday. So we didn't have to cover up the sound speakers and the boards and all that. We could put it in a truck and get it there. So I think it was about October, sometime in October. It was looking like a rain forecast for the weekend. And they had rained during the week, but just not on the Sundays. So there was a knock on my door pretty early in the morning. It was David Rowe. It was about 5:30, and we had to get going early to set up everything for our services at the middle school. And David knocked on my door, and he said, you got to come see this. And I go, oh, no, you know, is this another thing the preacher's got to fix, you know? And he said, well, what is it? He said, you just got to come down here. Come down to the offices. And I went down to the offices, and there's this trailer, brand spanking new. It's 28 years old now, this fall, but brand spanking new trailer. And it had notebook paper on the back of it. I'm talking lined notebook paper. So that told me that a woman didn't do this, okay? And it had Two Hope Community Church. That's all it said. And you opened up the side door, all the licensing was laying there in the floor. And so David Rowe looked at me and he goes, well, what are we gonna do with this? I said, we're hooking up to the bad boy. I said, that's what we're doing, we're hooking up to it. And that became our sound trailer for all those years of mobility. That became our sound trailer. Listen, we still don't know to this day who gave that to us. It was anonymously given. Do I have some hints here and there? Oh, I've been investigating for 28 years. But if you want to bring me down, I don't know completely who did this, but I just want to say it to you. I told that, you know, this Ebenezer rock represented the right help at the right time at the right place. And it represented our first rainy Sunday. God gave us a trailer. He gave us a trailer. I know to you, a trailer's not that big of a deal. But to this pastor, who happened at that time to be a young pastor, that's my Ebenezer. God used that as an Ebenezer sign to me that I am going to remain faithful. And God has shown us his faithfulness time and time and time again. Why? Because he is faithful. He is faithful. Is God faithful? Then look at the cross. He paid our sins, and he paid our sin debt that we actually deserve to pay. Is God faithful? He sacrificed his own. He didn't sacrifice you. He sacrificed his own. Is he faithful? You tell me. You tell me, is he faithful? We remember today his son. We remember our Savior. And we remember his sacrifice for our sins. Right, the right help, at the right time, at the right place. It was all said for just such as this time he came for us. And he made a way. You all will download apps, you'll go to conferences, and you'll try to find ways to have abundant life. And he's already given you. And it's not an app, it's a person. It's the person of Jesus Christ. We'll wonder about what life past this life is like. And Paul refers to it as being home. Its citizenship is there. He has provided not only abundant living, but he has also provided for all of us eternal living. It'll be home. Eternal life will be home like no other place you've ever lived in your life. It's not going to be some awkward thing that you're going to experience. It will instantly be a home like you've never had a home in your life. So the picture, he's taken care of all of that. He's provided a way of salvation. And he's provided a way of rescue, and he's doing that through his son, Jesus, and his work on the cross. And we're going to remember him today. So if you all are serving today, if you're serving the tables, I ask you to come, if you will, here while they're making their way down here. We're going to be serving you today instead of you coming to the altar. We're going to ask that when the bread is passed out to you, that you just hold it. We take it together in unison and in harmony together. Also the same when it comes to the drink. I want to remind you, this is his table, not my table or our table. This is his table. We believe in his presence being here among us. We believe that this table is a place where you and I confess our sins. Where you and I can even look at this table as a place where the battle turns and the battle changes. We can look at this table and realize that this is a place where God has shown us his absolute faithfulness to us and even his favor to us. And if you hear you're from another church today, our communion is open to other believers. And we welcome you to his table. On that night, he took bread. He said this, just a common dinner. And he took bread. And he said that this bread represents his body that is given to us. Simple teaching of his bread, personally, is that it's daily. And, you know, it's in the prayer, the model prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. It's a picture that you need this daily, you need him daily. Like Samuel wrote, he's helped us this far, which means we still need his help and we still need him. And they broke that bread and they gave thanks. Let's give thanks for the body of Christ given to us. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he came out of heaven. In Philippians 2, Lord, your word says he humbled himself to be among us. He came into this sin-sick, ridden world. He came to undo the works of the devil, and he came to rescue his children, your children, Lord, to save us. And he came to pay our debt that we owe. And so we thank you for Jesus, your Son, our Savior, who gave his body for us. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. Amen. I want you to look at John chapter 6 for just a moment, verses 29 through 35. This is after the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus replied, "This is the work of God, what he did, a miracle there, that you believe in the one he has sent. What sign then are you going to do so we may see and believe you?" they ask. And amazingly, he's just fed the 5,000 with fishes and loaves. "What are you going to perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, just as it was written. He gave them bread. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I assure you, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the real bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world, abundant life, eternal life." Then they said, "Sir, give us this bread always." Is that what we say? "Give us this bread always." Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," he told them. "No one who comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again." You know, that hunger and thirst verses in the very end of that, it can be confusing because you're thinking physical hunger and spiritual thirst. But picture is this, that once, you know, he says, "Taste him and see that he is good." You run to no other. You know, there is no one else you go to. It's the words of Simon Peter. "Where are we going to go, Lord? You have the words of life." And now we have the bread of life. And this bread represents his body given to us. So with this bread, let's remember his sacrifice, and let's remember his faithfulness to all of us. Take, eat, and remember. On that night, he took the drink, and he said, "This drink represents my blood shed for you." Before they passed it around into each other, they gave thanks. Let's bow, and let's give thanks for the blood of Christ. Father, your word tells us that it's no longer the bloodshed of animals that even attempts to bring atonement. It is your blood. It is your blood, Lord, that you give to us, that passes all of our sin and turns our stained life, Lord, and it's been washed as white as snow because of your blood. And we know your blood being shed brings forgiveness and freedom. And your blood being shed helps us to overcome the enemy. And we thank you for your blood being shed. We know that at the cross, the battle turned. And we are thankful. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. Amen. I want you to look at Hebrews 9:14 for just a moment. "How much more will the blood of Christ, the Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, that he will cleanse our conscience from dead works so that we may serve the living God." I want you to look at Romans 5:9 about his blood. "Much more then, since we have now been declared righteous by his blood, we will be saved through him from wrath," the rescue that is there. Look at Revelation 1:5 for just a moment. "And from Jesus Christ," and look at this next line, it almost makes me cry, "the faithful witness." Now what are we remembering today? His faithfulness. All through his life, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has set us free from our sins by his blood. We serve a God who is so faithful to us that he sent his only son for us. We also have a God that gives churches a trailer on the first rainy Sunday that they have to carry in their sound equipment. I know you and I will major on these are great movements of God, but that trailer, it'll always be my Ebenezer. So if you borrow it, you take care of it because it's God's, okay? We didn't pay one penny for that trailer. God has been faithful, and he is faithful to you, and he is faithful to us, and he will remain faithful to us. But the freedom and the forgiveness we have to be the us that he made is through his blood, his shed blood. He paid a high price for the value of our lives. May we never forget. Let's remember his faithfulness and his sacrifice, his forgiveness and freedom. Take, drink, and remember the works of our Lord. We left you with a blessing the other day. It is Psalm 115, 14, and 15. There are many blessings in Scripture, but we left you with this one. May the Lord add to your numbers, and remember we use the word increase here, both yours and your children's. May you be blessed by the Lord, who is the maker of heaven and earth in all of his faithfulness. We give an invitation for you to come. Our counselors can be here to receive you. You want to be prayed with, prayed for, or be prayed over. You have decisions you need to make. You're at a crossroads in your life. You have places where you need to surrender. This invitation is for you. So church, would you stand? Counselors, would you find your place here today? And then the team's going to lead us. And really this song comes out of that blessing. Our help comes from the Lord, who is maker of heaven and earth. Let's sing. Let's respond.